with you this afternoon, and I hope you do. This scripture that I'm going to share with you this afternoon, this thought that I'm going to share with you this afternoon was something that I had a couple of weeks ago, because when I share this, this is one of the scriptures that Sister Fraser, I don't think she's in here. If she was, she would be in her proper place, and that would be like right here in the third row sitting by this fine young man over here. So she's not in here with us, but she shared this thought yesterday as being one of the things that we really need to be attentive to in camp meeting, in those times that we set ourselves apart and aside for God to speak to us. And we're in James chapter 1. I'm not going to read all of the verses that she read, but just a couple of them. In verse 22 through 25, God wants you to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. So let's read these scriptures this afternoon. James chapter 1, 22 through 25. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Father, we pray for the blessing of you upon this word today as we share, God. Lord, let it be you that speaks to our hearts today. You know our needs. You know what we need to hear today, God. Lord, we thank you for it. In your name, Jesus, amen. We need to be not hearers only, but doers of the word of God. You're here at camp. You go, I trust you have a home church. You go to your home church. You're forever hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. And one of the dangers that we can easily slip into by continually hearing the word of God, it's easy to begin to think that we are justified because we know about God's word. We know what God wants. We know what God's word says. And we find a justification in that. And we find a satisfaction in that, and we think that we're okay because we know what God's word says. But it's much deeper than knowing what God's word says. The word of God talks about the devils, the demons. They know the word of God. They fear the word of God, and they tremble at the word of God. But the next step that we have to take after hearing the word of God, we need to make sure that we are a doer of the word of God. There's going to be many people on that dreadful judgment day that are going to stand before God, and they're going to say different things. But in essence, in reality, they were hearers of the word of God, but they did not become doers of the word of God. And we're going to look at some different examples throughout scripture of those that were hearers of the word of God and doers of the word of God, and some that were hearers of the word of God, but they didn't do what God wanted them to do. And depending on how long you've served the Lord, you may have found yourself in a situation where you knew what God wanted you to do, but you just didn't do it for whatever reason. And there's always a price to pay. We sing that song, when God tells you what to do, you better do it. Amen. It doesn't pay to disobey. That's all there's to it. We need to obey the word of God and what thus saith the Lord. We can go back clear to the beginning of time. We could be here all afternoon just going through examples in the Bible, but that is not my intention. We can go back to the time of Noah, when the word of God came to Noah and God gave him all those instructions about building that ark. Thank God that Noah was a doer of the words that he heard. I'm afraid to say that there's many of us today, if God would have spoke to us like he spoke to Noah, we wouldn't build that ark. We would just go out with that message, what God wants me to do, but we wouldn't do it. And there's many people that are serving God that know what God wants them to do. They've had God's call on their life. They spend their whole lifetime talking about what God wants them to do, but they don't move on it. You got to move on the word of God. Amen. God might have a call upon your life. I've known of people, amen, that were young, and God put a call upon their life, and they talked about that their whole life, and they went to their grave never doing that call of God, but always talking about what God called them to do. Amen. It's not enough to be called. You got to move when God calls you. Amen. And Noah had to move with what God called him to do. And it took faith for Noah to do that. Because if my understanding is right, amen, at the beginning of creation, the rains didn't come down from heaven. They were fed from the dew of the ground. And here's this man, and God gives him this message. And God knew that Noah was faithful. Amen. He was trying to find a just man, and he found Noah, and he was searching for him. But Noah listened to what God was saying. It was unbelievable things that God was telling him. It was almost like a fairy tale, the things that he was hearing. It's almost like a dream, like this can't be true. But Noah followed on into it. And how many times has God spoke to you? He dropped something down in your heart, and you're thinking, who, me? God's talking to me. God expects me to do that. Yes, God expects you to do that. Amen. Because if God speaks something into your heart personally, he will equip you to do it. God makes no mistakes. He knows what he is doing. Amen. He calls certain ones out for certain tasks and things that he wants them to do. There was nobody else that was going to be able to do what Noah did. Amen. And Noah was a doer of the word of God. He listened to what God wanted him to do. And there's all kinds of examples in God's word. Amen. We could go on and on. And in 2 Kings, we're going to look at some examples there. 2 Kings chapter 5. Amen. You can turn over there. I don't have it marked in my Bible either, so it's going to take me just as long to find it as it does you. 2 Kings chapter 5. And we're going to look at some examples of what it is to obey God and the blessing that comes with doing what God asks of us and what God wants us to do. In 2 Kings chapter 5, we're going to look at verses 10 through 14. We could read a whole lot of verses here, but I think that you might know some of these anyway. And this is talking about the cure of Naaman's leprosy. And we're talking about obeying God's word and what God wants you to do. And in verse 5, it says this, and the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter has come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and says, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came, and this is the part we want, the next few verses. Naaman came with his horses, with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leprosy. Are not Abana and Parphar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. He wasn't going to listen to the words that were told him to do. Amen. He wasn't going to listen. He was hearing the words, but he wasn't going to do it. He went away in a rage, and his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much better than when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. He received his miracle because he eventually obeyed the word of God. But how many times have we fallen into that trap? When you come to the man of God, you come to the preacher, you go to the evangelist, or God will ask something of you that seems silly. It doesn't seem like like there's any rationale for doing this thing. My goodness, this man has leprosy, and he's coming to receive a miracle, and it looks like you're almost ignoring it, but the man of God didn't even come out and see him. He sent his servant out with the word and said, go down to the Jordan River and dip 7 times in there, and you're going to be clean. And that man did not want to obey that word. He was a man of status. He was a man of importance. He had his entourage with him. The king of his land had sent him, and he really thought he was somebody. Surely he'll come out and greet me, and he'll say some good words over me. And he just wanted him to do something really simple. But Naaman couldn't see that. He couldn't understand that. And he went away in a rage because of what God wanted him to do. How many times have we gone away in a rage because of something that God wanted us to do? God speaks to us different today. He might speak to you through a man, but he might speak in that still small voice to you, and you just have a rage raise up in the side of you. Amen. And that carnal man just rises up. I'm not going to do that. Whatever that thing might be, I'm not going to do that. That just goes against my better judgment. That's not what I'm looking for. This is what I'm looking for. Amen. God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. Amen. You'll never understand the ways in which God works. And when God moves upon you and a man of God tells you to go do thus and so, amen, you better go do thus and so. And Naaman, he couldn't see it. He went away in a rage. And his servants that were with him reasoned with him. They said, listen, if he would have told you to go do some great thing, you surely would have done that. You wouldn't have gave it second thought. He told you to do something so minimal, something so simple. You just go out to that Jordan River. He didn't say you had to go to that Jordan River where there's a whole bunch of people around and everybody's going to see what you're doing. You can go into a secluded part of that river if you want to. But the thing is, he's just telling you to dip 7 times. And what does it hurt for you to try that? And so he went and did it. And when he did it, it says his flesh came onto him again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. He received his miracle because he became a doer of the word. Amen. A doer of the word of God. Amen. We have to do things the way God wants us to do them. I think it was our brother that shared last night. You can't put God in a box. You don't know how God's going to give you that miracle that you need. You know how God maybe did the miracle for somebody else in a certain way, but you don't know how God is going to do it for you. Amen. He's a God past finding out. His ways are hard to understand, but we need to be obedient to the word of God. And so Naaman, he went and washed, and he received that miracle that he needed. And being we're in 2 Kings, we can just go back a chapter to verse 4, and there was another miracle that happened here. And these miracles that happened in 2 Kings that we're reading about, they happened because these people obeyed the simplest command that was given them to do. It made no sense for Naaman to go dip in a river 7 times. Can't you see he's got leprosy? He needs more attention than just going and washing in water. That isn't going to make him clean. But he did it, and he received his miracle. In 2 Kings chapter 4, we find another situation, and this was the widow's oil. And you can read the rest of the story if you want to, but we're just going to start down in verse 4. And it says, and when thou art come in, thou shalt, and this was the man of God speaking to her, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her, and she was doing as she was told, and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Verse 6, and it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. And then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children the rest with the rest of the money. She was in a dire situation. Amen. Her husband had died. She was left there with her sons, and her sons didn't have the wherewithal, amen, at that age that they were apparently to supply for their mother. And the man of God came, And they took a vessel, and he said, you take this vessel, and you take all the vessels that you can find, and you set them here, and you pour out of this one. That doesn't make sense. Amen. A young child here can understand that. Amen. I have this vessel here, and if we brought a gallon jug up here and set it beside this, and I said, you take this and start pouring it in that gallon jug, and not only that, I want you to find all the vessels that you can. You start pouring out of this one. I know that this isn't going to fill a gallon jug. How's this going to resolve the problem that I have? We're going to die. We need money to live. But nevertheless, she obeyed what the prophet said, and they started pouring that, and it filled that vessel, and it filled that vessel, and it filled that vase, and it filled that vase. And they went looking, and they found all the vases and vessels that they could find, and they were all filled. And they went back to the man of God and says, we filled them all. He says, now good, you take that oil. Oil was valuable back then. It was a valuable commodity. He said, you take that and you sell that, and then you'll be able to live on that. So that tells me that was a lot of money's worth of oil that was poured into those vessels if they were able to survive on that. It was no little thing. It was a big deal. But thank God that she obeyed the man of God. Amen. What happens if she would have said, you're missing it, preacher. You're missing it. We're hungry. We need money to live. We need food. We need clothing. What's this? What's these vases and these vessels have to do with it? You need to obey the voice of God when God speaks to you. Amen. God might speak to you to do something that seems silly to you. It doesn't make any sense. I've heard testimonies of people before, and I think it happened with Brother Pastor or Brother Fraser's church when he was in Titusville. There was one of the ladies, and I think it was $1 bills that she was counting, and she counted those, and every time she counted them, there was more, and she just kept going, and there was more every time, and there was, that doesn't make sense. Wouldn't you like to do that with your money? You got a pile of $20 bills. You know you only have 100 there, and you count them out. Now, you got to know math a little bit. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's 100. Wow. You count them again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Wait a minute. I only had 5. Now there's 6. What are you going to do? You're going to count them again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. How's there 7? God can do things like that. That's the kind of God that we serve. Now, I'm not saying just go count your money just to see if that happens, but if you're in a dire situation, God is able to do things like that. That's the kind of God that I serve. Amen. So we need to obey the servant of God. We need to obey the man of God. We need to obey the voice of God. Amen. You might only have a little bit left. Amen. We're going into the next one. So this woman, because of her obedience, she was able to pay the debt that she had. The next one we're going to look at, the last one we're going to look at in 2 Kings, or excuse me, it's in 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. I know we're going backwards here a little bit, but that's okay. And we're going to look at a situation here in chapter 17, verses 7 through 15. But in verse 9, what we want to look at is God spoke to the widow to help the prophet. This was a widow that was to her wit's end. You think you have it bad. Perhaps there is somebody here that you left home and you don't have hardly any food left in your cupboards. And you don't know what you're going to do when you get back from camp. In fact, you came to camp because you're going to have food for 10 days. They're going to feed you morning, noon, and night. They're going to take care of you. You don't have the wherewithal. You don't have a means to take care of yourself at home. So I'm going to camp. They'll take care of me there. And this woman was almost in a situation like that. She just had a little bit of meal left in a barrel. Amen. And she was going to bake a cake and herself and her sons, and then they were going to die. Because that's the reality of the situation. That's the what we see in the here and now and what's going on. The reality is she's going to take this. She's going to bake that cake. They're going to eat it. They're going to die because there's no more to come around. And then comes the man of God. So let's look at this story here. We'll start in verse 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. I think I'm in the right spot here. I got to look up my notes. I get all carried away. Amen. And he and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. We're talking about hearing the word of God and doing the word of God. How in the world is this widow going to be able to sustain the man of God? It doesn't make any sense. There's times that God doesn't make any sense to us, but we need to be reliant upon his command, upon his word, what it is that he tells us to do. And so that was beforehand. I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal and a barrel and a little oil and a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks, okay? She didn't have much to cook if she's going to gather in two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said. You go and do that. You go make that. Go make the bread. Go do your thing. You're going to die. You just go do that. But before you do that, he says, Cake, bring it on to me. Let me back up. But make thou therefore a little cake first and bring it on to me. He wasn't asking for a big cake. He said, Just make me a little cake and bring it on to me and my son that we may eat. Or excuse me, I'm getting ahead of myself. Bring it on to me, verse 13. And after, make for thee and for thy son. She could have stopped right there and tried to reason to him. Wait a minute, you don't understand. I only have enough meal here to make a little cake for me and my son, and you're telling me to make a cake for you first and then to make a cake for me and my son. That's not going to happen. But she knew, because we read in the prior verse that God had already commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, and then he said unto her, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. She received a sustained life. She was at the end of her line. She was going to die. I mean, that's the reality of the situation. We don't have anything. We're going to starve to death. And yet she had that little bit there. It didn't make any sense. And so she heard what the prophet said. She could have tried to rationalize with him. She could have tried to reason with him. Maybe you got the wrong lady. Maybe you need to go somewhere else because it's just me and my son and we just have this little bit. Look, you can see what we got here. She could have tried to put the guilt trip on him. But priorly, as we read in verse 9 there, the Lord had already spoke to this woman that the prophet's going to come and you're going to sustain him. You're going to help him. She could have argued with God. She could have said, God, there's no way that I can do it. Amen. And throughout this camp and throughout your Christian life, perhaps there has been times that God has spoken to you to give the little bit that you have. And we're not just talking about money. It could be money. Just give the little bit that you have. Just do the little bit that you can do. And in doing so and obeying God's voice, there's a blessing that comes with it. Amen. This woman received the blessing. Amen. By giving to the man of God first. That last verse I read in 15, it says that they went and they did eat many days. And I believe if she wouldn't have given to the man of God first, it would have been the end of her life. Amen. You need to obey God. You need to hear what God wants. And you need to do what God wants. God, help me to be a doer of the word. Why don't you say that? God, help me to be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Some of us have heard and we have heard and we have heard and we have heard until there comes a time when literally we shut our ears off to the word of God. Brother Brady, when he was preaching the other night, I don't know if it was last night or the first night, he said, this passage of scripture that I'm going to share is very familiar. And he said something like this, don't shut your ears off to it. Because you've heard it so many times. The tendency is we're just going to shut it down and we're going to go into la-la land in our thinking. We're going to be here. Maybe we're going to hear it, but we're not going to take it to heart. We're not going to be doers of it. We need to be attentive to the Word of God. There's a song that's written, Word of God speak. Word of God speak. God's Word speaks to us every day. Every day it speaks to us, but we need to be a doer of the Word of God. What good is it just to hear and just to hear and just to hear? Oh, you're raising children. You know what that's all about. You tell your children, you give them a little command, you give them a little chore to do. Go do thus and so, go do this and that. They hear every word that you're saying, and they'll say they hear every word that you're saying. And there's even times we as parents and grandparents, if we doubt their hearing, we'll say, now what did I say? Repeat to me what I want you to do. And they'll repeat it to us, but yet they still will not do it. We're that way many times with God. Amen. We hear and we hear and we hear. And we wonder, why, God, aren't you helping me? Why am I having such a hard time in life? Why does it seem like there's a curse upon me? Many times I think we bring a curse upon ourselves because we don't pay attention to the details of what God wants us to do. Amen. But thank God for His mercy and love. Whenever we're not obedient to Him, He doesn't withhold blessing forever. He might let you go through a hard time trying to get your attention, trying to get you to realize that maybe you're part of the problem as to why you're going through what you're going through. It's good to examine yourself when you're going through a hard time. Some people don't believe in that. I believe that you should examine yourself. Amen. You're going through a hard time. God, is there something that I'm not hearing? Is there something that I'm not doing? What is it that you want of me, God? And it may be just a trying time. Maybe there is nothing. Maybe the slate's clear. But perhaps God will take you back to a time where He had spoken to you to do thus and so, and you refused and you went on in your own way. Amen. Sometimes we need to go back, amen, to a place in our spiritual life, and we need to repent and say, God, I'm sorry that I didn't listen to you the way that I should have listened. I heard you, but I wasn't a doer. God, that we might be doers of the Word of God. So this woman was able to pay her debt, amen, pay her debt off, amen. That was the other one we're talking about now. Her life was sustained because she took care of the man of God first. We don't know what's coming to our neighborhoods and our communities and towns where we live before Jesus comes. We want to think we're always going to have plenty. We're always going to have a lot of food in our cupboards. In most towns and communities run food pantries. Amen. And if you're having a bit of a hard time and you qualify, there's nothing wrong with going to the food pantry. Amen. My wife and I, we've gone through times in our life. Amen. We were serving God, doing His will, but we've gone to the food pantries and got food. That's a blessing to be able to do that. Amen. And don't be too proud to take the help that's out there for you, but there might be a come a time when the food pantries don't have any food to give out. Amen. You don't have food in your house. Nobody has food to give you. Do you realize how delicate the whole system is? Amen. As you travel the country and you see rain is very important, and all it would take is 1 year of heavy drought across America, amen, into where all the crops are growing and so on and so forth. And if they didn't have the harvest, do you know what that's going to do? It's going to cause food shortages. If nothing else, it's going to drive prices even higher than what they are, where that might be available, but you won't be able to afford to get it. We're living in a delicate system. It doesn't mean that it's always going to be there, but I know somebody that's always going to be there. Amen. And that's God. And we need to learn to rely upon God in the good times. Amen. And should the bad times come, then it'll be much easier to rely upon God. You need to practice relying upon God. I was thinking about this since I've been here at camp. There's just something about our human nature and something about us being Americans. How much do you really depend on God? Think about it. Examine yourself. Do you need God in your life? I got a good job. I have everything I need. And yada, yada, yada. And on we go. And as I really examine and look, wow, I guess I'm not really dependent on him too much, but yet we realize that it's God that gave us that job. We need to learn to rely upon God. Amen. As children rely upon their parents, God wants us to rely upon him. When you need something, you take your needs before the Lord in prayer. It's not, well, I need something. I have the money to do it, so I'm just going to go do it. Man, sometimes you're cutting yourself out of a blessing that God wants to give you because you're always going to figure out a way to get it yourself. Amen. We don't always have to figure a way to get it out ourselves. Amen. To get ourselves out of a jam, we need to learn to take things to the Lord in prayer. Say, God, I'm in a situation here. And if you got yourself in that situation, it's an okay thing to say, God, I repent that I was so foolish with my money and I didn't spend it wisely. But here I am now, and I humbly come to you. Lord, show me a resolution to this problem. God might send the money in. He might show you how to get out of the snag that you're in, but God will answer you. We need to learn to depend upon God. Amen. We need to learn to depend upon God. If I'm not mistaken, in 1 Kings, that same prophet that we were talking about, he was a man of God. He was anointed by God, but he was going through a hard time, and he was going through such a hard time that the ravens brought him the food that he needed every day. That could come to us in America, where you don't have, there's no way to get, and the birds of the air could bring the food that you need to you every day, amen, that you need to sustain your life. That's the kind of God that we're serving. Never underestimate the power of God, amen. We're serving a mighty God. And then one we're all familiar with, and that's in the book of Jonah. We're not going to read the story. You all know the story. But Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1, he heard what the Lord of God, what the Lord's voice said to him. But Jonah heard, it says, be ye hearers of the word, or be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. No, Jonah was a hearer of the word, but he wasn't a doer of the word. God told him what to do. He didn't want to do it. He wanted to go in the opposite direction. Don't answer this, but answer it in your own mind. Has God ever asked something of you and you just simply refuse to do it? We're not all saints, okay? It's not always easy to do what our Heavenly Father might ask of us. It's not always easy to do what your parents asked of you when you were children. But you would say, yes, Father, yes, Mother. If you had any wisdom in you, that's what you'd say. You wouldn't rebel and say, I'm not doing that. But many times we do that with God. We rebel against God. God wants something of us, and we say, I'm not going to do it. You just walk away from it. And there's a price to pay for that. And you know the story of Jonah, the hard time that he had in his life. And not only did it affect his life, it affected the life of the people around him. There was a curse upon him, and it was putting other people in danger. Is your disobedience to God putting your family in danger? Oh, that won't happen. Oh, it could happen. Amen. Jonah, he didn't obey God, and it was putting those that were close to him, ones he didn't even really know, ones that he was traveling with, they were all in trouble that were on that ship because he was the one that wasn't obeying God. Amen. Don't be the Jonah. Don't be, as Brother Kyle was talking yesterday, don't be the elephant in the room. Don't be the one that's bringing the curse upon the church. Don't be the one that's bringing the curse upon the family. Don't be the one that's bringing the curse upon the workplace. Don't be the one that's bringing a curse upon your finances. So what am I talking about? Obey God. Do what it is that God is bidding you to do. Amen. There's so much that God wants from us. And so what about you? Are you a doer of the word, or are you just a hearer? Right now you're a hearer. I'm a hearer. I'm here at camp meeting. I'm hearing every night, morning, afternoon. I'm taking it all in, but I need to digest this. I need to think about it. I need to spend some time pondering it. That trip that we just took, all those miles that we went, we probably took 5,000 and some pictures. And I mean, that's a lot to digest. And people are like, well, what's the favorite part of your trip? I said, wow. It was such a quick, fast trip, and we've seen so much. I said, it's going to take me a while to digest this. What you're receiving at camp meeting this year, it's going to take you a while to digest it. But if I'm going to digest what we've seen and did on that trip, I'm going to have to think about it. I'm going to have to look at those pictures. They're going to bring back memories. I'm going to have to ponder it. And if we're going to digest what God is doing for us at camp meeting, we're going to have to think about it. Amen. We have the technology today. They're making, I don't even know what they call those things, a little drive of some kind. I'm sure they're going to have those for sale at a reasonable price. You can get all the messages of camp meeting on a little thing and put it in your computer. That'll help you digest. Listen, I'm human just like you are. All of the Word of God that we receive here at camp, it's impossible for us to digest it all in this 10 days that we're here. You can't do it. Your mind can't fathom, can't think that deep, can't think that far. Amen. And so you need to somehow put it in the archives of your mind. You need to get a CD. You need to, I don't do tapes anymore. I'm giving my age away. Whatever they make, however you can do it, you can go on the MEA website. I was already looking this morning, and so far the sermons that I've been preached in camp meeting are on the MEA website. Let me help you out. It don't cost you a penny. You get in there, you listen for free. Or you can buy what they have back there. Brother Ken, I'm trying to help you out. But to digest the Word of God, Sister Fraser talked about it yesterday. Take a notebook, take a notepad, write things down. When somebody's speaking and something stands out to you, just write a little synopsis there so that when you go back and you review that, it can help you digest it so that you can receive the Word of God, so that you'll find yourself not only being a hearer of the Word, God, but I want to be a doer of the Word. Remember when I started, I said this, and it is a true danger. And the danger is we feel justified in just hearing the Word of God. Oh, I heard the Word of God. I went to church. Pastor, that was a good sermon. If it was such a good sermon, how come the next Sunday you can't even tell Pastor what he preached the Sunday before? But that Sunday, oh, I never heard anything so wonderful. Because we don't digest it. We need to put it to practice in our lives. Amen. We've been hearing. We've been hearing and we've been hearing. Don't deceive yourself. Amen. Don't deceive yourself. Some take comfort in hearing only. They feel secure because they have heard. But not only must you hear, you must act upon the Word of God. You've got to act on the Word of God. That's the point I'm trying to drive home with you this afternoon. In Matthew chapter 19. Amen. And it's not lunchtime for quite a while yet. I haven't seen anybody stand up, so I know nobody's getting tired yet. Matthew chapter 19. Anybody going to stand up, spin a circle? Matthew chapter 19. I think I see some eyes getting heavy in here, though. Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 22. This is the story of a rich young ruler who came to Jesus, and he asked, what do you must do about this eternal life thing? What must I do? He asked. He was told exactly what he had to do. But he went away sorrowful. Can't do it. The cost is just too great. I can't do it. He wasn't weighing the whole thing out. Let's just look at this real quick. 16, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? That's a question we should, oh God, What do I got to do to have eternal life? And Jesus said, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Okay, we're getting somewhere. Keep the commandments. He thought, I can do that. And he said unto him, which ones, Lord? And Jesus says, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him, and he thought he had it made here. And he says, all these have I kept from my youth up. But he knew he was lacking something because he said, what lack I yet? There was a lacking in him. He was keeping all the commandments, but he didn't have that fulfilled feeling down in his heart and in his soul. And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast. Give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He had great possessions. He came to Jesus. He asked. He was told what he needed to do. He said, I'm doing all that. Jesus went one step farther. He says, and sell what you have. Give it to the poor. You're going to have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And he turned and he went away sorrowful. He heard the word of God, but he refused it because in his calculation, the cost was too great. I have too much to lose if I decide to follow Jesus. Now, we're serious already, but let's be serious about this for a minute. That is a reality. There are some people that won't accept Jesus and follow him because they feel they have too much to lose if they follow Jesus. My friends are going to forsake me. My family's going to be disgusted with me. I won't be able to participate in that social club. I won't be able to participate in that. And it's just going to upset my whole life, and it's just too much. I just can't do it. And they count the cost as being too great, but yet they're not really thinking in reality. They're not being rational about it. Amen. We need to think this way. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. What shall it profit a man if he gained the whole world and he loses his own soul? That young man needed to hear that, but he heard the word of God and he walked away sorrowful. Don't walk away sorrowful from what God wants you to do. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. We're not going to read it, but that's where Jesus told them to go to Jerusalem. They heard the word of God and wait there until you're endued with power from on high. And thank God those early Christian believers did that. Because they did that, we have the baptism in the Holy Ghost today. The Spirit was poured out upon the church. What happens if they would have looked at that and said, that's a big expectation. We're supposed to go to Jerusalem. We're supposed to wait until we're endued with power from on high. Doesn't this man know that we have lives to live? We have families to take care of. We have to have income. And he wants us just to go sit there and twiddle our thumbs? That's just too much cost. We're not going to do it. And what's he talking about, this power from on high? They could have doubted within their hearts, and maybe some did for a season of time. But eventually, they all obeyed the word of God, and they went, and they obeyed, and they received the baptism, and we still have the baptism today because of them. And so we must be a doer. All the knowledge in the world can't help you. All the knowledge of the word of God in this world can't help you if you don't apply it to your life. It's easy to look, well, that's what this one needs to do. That's what that one needs to do. What do you need to do? What is it that God wants you to do? And we could go down many avenues, and I'm just going to make mention of some things here, amen, that God can deal with your hearts, and we'll be done. What's the Bible say about tithes and offerings? Oh, you're going out in left field now. Boy, you got out of the Spirit in a hurry. Now you're talking about money. Look and see what God really says. Go to God with an open heart and an open mind if you're struggling with tithes and offerings. And look at it through the scripture. Oh, here's one. I'll just throw this plug in. Some like to say tithing isn't for us today. That was something that was under the law. Excuse me. Abraham paid tithes before the law was even given. Chew on that one for a while. If you fall under that, well, it was under the law. We don't have to do it today. Why did Abraham do it? Because he feared God. He had a respect for God. And if you don't think we need to do it, and if it's not something we need to do today, you should just do it out of respect for God and out of thankfulness to him. We need to be tithers and givers. Amen. We hear it. And another one that we can talk about a little bit. The word of God tells us, you're all here at camp and you look good and wonderful. But of all of us that are here, now my name's Thomas. And what goes with Thomas is doubting Thomas, okay? I doubt that everybody that's sitting in here today is faithful to a church 365 days a year in your church attendance, in your offerings, and in your tithes. You're right there doing what you can do. Doesn't the word of God tell us? And people have so many different interpretations of it, but it does say, don't neglect the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. You need to get together with God's people in God's house. Find where God wants you to go to church. You might not fit in this church over here, but God might want you over here in this church. Amen. That's just the way that God's work. God works. You need to find that place. We need to be doers of the word of God. We don't like that part, so we just push it out the door. Well, that's not really that important. The church is the body of believers. And as long as I'm fellowshipping with believers, you know, throughout the week and different times throughout the week, that's good enough. But God wants us to assemble ourselves together. Amen. I'm not assembling myself together. If I go over to Pastor Fraser's house and just visit with him and we discuss and talk about the word of God, that's good. That'll build up our faith. But we're not assembling. If we assemble, it's going to be more than two people. There's going to be a group of us that get together. We need to assemble together. Amen. And another thing that we need to do, we need to be very careful, is how we treat others. The word of God tells us specifically how to treat others. You'll never find anybody that you agree 100% with. I love my wife. 45 years coming up in August. We still don't agree 100% on everything. We don't. We just don't agree. I have to be careful how I treat her when she disagrees with me. She has to be careful how she treats me. You have to be careful how you treat the other Christian brothers and sisters. There's something about our human nature. If we feel like we've been a target of somebody or somebody struck against us, we feel like we need to strike back. Amen. But we need to be very careful how we treat everybody else, especially those of the household of faith, because those on the outside are watching. And I just shared in Sunday school this morning, we need to be disciplined in our walk for Christ, because it's a reproach to the gospel and to a church. And I've heard the statement made before. Amen. About the very church that I'm pastor of now in the community, people out and about, they'll be talking about somebody. Yeah, they go to that revival center. Man, I sure don't want to go to that church if that's how those people are over there. That individual, whatever it is that they did, it could have even been misunderstood. That's bringing a reproach to the church. Amen. We need to be doers of the word of God. We need to be disciplined. We need to do what God wants us to do. Amen. And so just finishing up here this afternoon, if you were a Noah, would the world have ceased to exist? Because build a boat? I don't even know what a boat is. What you talking about, God? Boy, that sounds like a dumb idea. Water on the earth? That can't happen. Would we still be here? Would mankind have ceased to exist if you would have been Noah? And then we look at what God did for Naaman. He received that miracle because he eventually obeyed God's word. Amen. That woman helped that widow, helped that prophet. It sustained her life and the prophet's life. Another widow was able to pay off her debts because she obeyed God's word. Jonah, we didn't talk much about him, but he eventually obeyed God's word. Amen. And he learned the lesson the hard way. And then the rich young ruler, he just went away sorrowful. It's just too much. God wants certain things of us. What do you mean? Thought it was all love and mercy. Do you not want certain things of your children? Do you not have expectations of your children, your earthly children? Certainly you do. Why would you think your heavenly Father and all of the children, all of them that have accepted Christ as their Savior, God doesn't give a care about what we do. Just go do your thing. Just do whatever you want to do. You're washed in the blood and everything's fine. He has expectations of us. Let's stand to our feet this afternoon. Amen. And I really want you to get this in your heart today. God, help me to be a doer of the word and not hearer only. Amen. And so let's just pray for a moment of time. You can do it right there in the place where you're standing. God, help me to be a doer of the word of God. Lord, I'm a hearer. I can do that okay. I love to hear the word of God. I love to hear Holy Ghost preaching. Oh, I get a chill down my spine. Oh, it makes me feel good. But God, am I a doer of the word? Am I putting it to practice in my life? Help us today, God, in the name of Jesus. You got to reach out for yourself. I can't do it for you. God, that I be a doer of the word of God. Lord, I'm struggling with this tithing idea. God, I want to do it, but it just doesn't make sense. But Lord, help me to be a doer of the word of God, to give my tithes, to give my offerings, to attend the house of God. Lord, to treat others the way that you would have me to treat them, God, in the name of Jesus, to be a doer, God, to be a doer of the word of God, to be the example of the word of God living mightily within me this day. Oh, God, help us in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, God, for the remainder of time, God, that we have here at this camp meeting. Lord, all the word that we're going to hear, all the preaching that we're going to hear, God, it's going to get us excited. It's going to bring us to tears. It's going to bring us to laughter, God. But when we walk away from here, many of us are just going to forget about it. God, that's not going to do us any good. God, we've got to be a doer of the word of God. Lord, drop something within our hearts today, God, a newfound determination, God, that I'm going to do what it is that you want me to do. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for it, Jesus. Be a doer of the word of God. You want to make your pastor happy? Not because he's saying it, but be a doer of the word of God. Just put it into practice. That'll put a smile on your pastor's face. Same way with parents. Some of us parents, if our kids actually did what we asked them to do, I don't know if we could survive. We'd just be in shock and awe, like, wow, they listen. Then we'd begin to think, what it is that do they want? You know, what special thing do they want from me? Because they're all of a sudden being nice to me. Don't treat God that way. All of a sudden you're obedient to God and God's thinking, wow, they actually listened to me. What's up? What do they want? We just need to be those that child that always obeys. Amen. God bless you. Okay, we're just going to close in prayer here. Take that word of God with you. Amen. It'll be a little while before supper's here yet. And it's foggy and rainy out there, and it's going to be all day, and maybe most of the day tomorrow. Isn't that wonderful? God's water and his green earth. Amen. I'm happy with it. The kids might not be. But Lord, we thank you for this time here today. Help us, oh God, to hide this word in our heart, God. We've heard it. We hide it in our hearts. But God, we will apply it to ourselves. God, not for somebody else, but for me, God. Lord, I'll see where it fits in for me, God, and I'll be a doer of the word of God. Bless and help us in all that we do and say today. God, and in this service tonight, that you will move by your power and by your spirit, God, that we'll come expecting to hear from heaven, God. Lord, that you'll meet the needs that are here, God. That's the kind of God that you are. Lord, that we will be forever obedient to you. We love you, and everybody said, amen. Look at somebody and say, be a doer. Be a doer.